Did you ever think about how God used some of the relatively insignificant people who are mentioned in Scripture? That is a fascinating Bible study, by the way. Let me tell you what I mean by this. For example, the little boy who had the lunch, remember? And here were these thousands of people, and there was no food for them. And Jesus is there, and the disciples said, well, there is a little boy here who has a lunch. Jesus takes that lunch, multiplies it, and feeds thousands of people. I've always wondered what that little boy told his mother when he went home that day. Mom, you won't believe what happened. Then I thought about the man who was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, but he had a withered hand. He's just a part of the congregation. And at that service, Jesus is there, and he's questioned about whether or not it is lawful to heal somebody on the Sabbath day. And Jesus looks over at that man and says, stretch your hand forth. And instantly, his withered hand was completely whole. Isn't he glad that he went to synagogue that day? I think about some of these people and how God did such a marvelous thing with just a simple act. Our study today, we are working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and we now come to the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is in all four Gospels. I'm going to talk to you today about a couple of people that are the key to what happens on that particular day. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. Would you turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11? Mark chapter 11. Let me read verses 1 through 7. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered into it, you'll find a colt that is tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it to me. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You just say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. And they loosed it. But some of those who were standing there said, whoa, what are you doing loosing the colt? In other words, it's not yours. And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Isn't that interesting? In this passage, here is this colt, but notice the owners of the colt were willing to let it go. The Lord has need of it. So they let the colt go. By the way, this passage doesn't say it was the owners, but the parallel passage in Luke says when they came to get the colt, maybe it was the owners, maybe it was the others who said, wait a minute, that's not yours. But it says the owners said, oh, the Lord wants it? Okay, he can have it. And I thought about that simple act of them letting the colt go and how God used that in such a powerful way. I have several thoughts. First of all, the fact that they did that, God's scripture was fulfilled. Put your finger here. Would you turn back to the book of Zechariah? Now that, if you don't know your Old Testament, that's right down toward the end of the Old Testament, next to Malachi. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. The prophet says, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. He is lowly, and he will come riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. There it is. The prophet says when Jesus comes the first time, he at some point will come and present himself riding on a colt. Notice this passage says, he's the king. Behold, your king is coming. It says also that the Lord Jesus Christ is just. Notice it says also, and he brings salvation, having salvation. He comes presenting salvation. And he is lowly. He came on an animal of peace, a donkey. By contrast, when he comes back the second time to earth, he comes on a horse. Notice verse 10 is actually the second coming. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off and so forth. And he'll come and he'll have this reign from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. That has to do with the second coming of Christ. And if you want to know more about that, in the book of Revelation, it says, listen to chapter 19, verse 11. John says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. That's Jesus. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. First time he comes on an animal of peace, a donkey. Second time he comes on an animal of war, the horse, Revelation 19. So the fact that these owners simply said, oh, the Lord wants it? Okay. They let it go. God's scripture was fulfilled. But secondly, go back now again to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. God's Son was honored. Mark chapter 11, I'll begin at verse 8. So here's what happens. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King, the kingdom of our father David, that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Interesting. Praise God, they say, for the return of our father David's kingdom. The King has come, the Lord Jesus. Hail to the King of the universe, they say. That's many times how they introduced kings in our country. Maybe not all the time, but when our president comes, he comes in a presidential limousine, and they play what? Hail to the chief! Well, this is sort of similar. Same type of thing. Did you notice it says that he came on a colt and no one had ever sat on that colt? That's important because in the Old Testament scriptures, for particular special religious occasions, you had to use a colt or an animal upon which no one had ridden. This is a special occasion. The coming of Jesus being presented. These owners simply allowed Jesus to take their colt. And because they did, God's Son was honored. The scripture was fulfilled. God's Son was honored. And then God's work was furthered. And I got to thinking about this. Have you ever thought about something that you might do? Might be insignificant to you. You might not think it's a big deal. Did you realize, and I think all of us need to hear this or be reminded of this. Sometimes the seemingly insignificant things that we do can have a huge impact and bring great glory to God. For example, you say, well, Pastor, I can't teach. You know, I don't preach. I'm not that kind of person. Did you ever think about going over to a widow's house and fix, and if you are good with your hands and so forth, fixing something at her house? I know not every widow is lacking in support, but many times they don't have all the finances. But there may be some of you, and I know some of you have done this in this church. You're the first one to step up and go over to the widow's house and fix whatever she needs fixed or redo the bathroom or whatever it is. And God is honored by that, what you think might be insignificant. It's not insignificant. That'll make all the difference in the world for her. Do you ever think about maybe going to visit somebody who's going through a rough time? We all know that there are people in our congregation who've gone through tough times, hard times. Did you ever think about giving them a call and say, hey, listen, have you got just a few minutes? I thought I'd come by. Well, what? I know you're going through a hard time, and I'm not asking you to tell me all the details. And when you go, I don't try to explain why all the bad things have happened to the person. I'll have to commit that to God. But you know what I do when I go? I say to them, get my Bible. Let me read a few verses to you. And I want to have prayer with you. And then I leave. Do you know what a spiritual impact that has on people's lives? How much that means to them to know that you cared? And somebody came and read God's. They got to hear the voice of God. Don't forget that. Every time we read this, these are God's words. We're hearing God speak to us through this book that he's written. And after we read what he's already said, then we speak back to him in prayer. How meaningful is that? Over the years, we had a number of secretaries and people that worked in the office, and I occasionally would remind them when they started getting frustrated about, oh, I have to run all these copies or I have to do all this. Stop. That's the Lord's work. That's God's work. That's not just running copies. That's not just office work. What you're doing is God's work for His glory. Keep that in mind. So first, because they allowed Jesus to have the colt, God's scripture was fulfilled. Second, God's Son was honored. Third, God's work was furthered. You know, these owners can teach us a lot about how to give. They gave willingly. No debate. No argument. No bargains. Who wants it? The Lord has need of it. Oh. When Christ wants us to give something, we shouldn't keep it. Someone has said, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." They gave quietly. They gave willingly, they gave quietly. We don't even know their names. They simply appear on the pages of Scripture, and then they disappear. And we don't know anything about them. But they gave, and the Scripture was fulfilled, and God's Son was honored, and His work was furthered. And I don't think that there was a sign on the colt that said, "This colt, courtesy of Abe and Ruth's donkey rentals." No. No, there was no sign on there. Some Christians might do that, but, you know, make sure. I want to make sure I get a little bit of, you know, somebody. No, I don't think so. Would you turn now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. As you look at Luke 19, let's begin at verse 39. Luke 19:39. Now, once again, this is right after the triumphal entry. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples," because they just said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And now the Pharisees are angry. But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." That is, the stones along the road would all burst into cheer. Now as he drew near, he saw the city, get this, and he wept over it. Let us remember, it's not a sin to cry. And he said, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." In other words, if you just realized what is happening and who I am and what is taking place and the scriptures being fulfilled, if you just realized it, "for the days will come upon you," verse 43, "when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another." In other words, there's judgment coming. Here's why. Again, I have this underlined in red. "Because you did not know the time of your visitation." They should have known who Jesus was. what was happening and the significance of it. They should have recognized the time of what was taking place. Jesus said, but you didn't realize the time of your visitation, that God in me has come to you. And Jesus wept because they didn't recognize the time of what was happening. To which I have this question. Do you know what time it is? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Listen to Romans. In Romans 13, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time for us to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We are closer to the coming of the Lord than ever. The night is far spent. The days are at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And what God is saying to us is, wake up, Christians. Do you know what time it is? Church, do you realize that Jesus is going to come at any moment? We are to live our lives in anticipation of his any moment coming. And I will tell you, that helps me to live a clean life. Because the last thing I want is to be somewhere doing something or involved in something that I would be ashamed of at his appearing if he suddenly came for me. Do you know what time it is? I think he's coming soon when I look around the world and I compare it to what I read in my Bible. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Our Father, thank you for your holy word, and thank you that you can take some of the simple things that we could allow you to have, and you could use them for your greater glory. Help us all today to be willing and open to do something, little as it may seem, because it may have eternal consequences. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.